Well, listener, welcome to the start of the Hari Kesaktian Pancasila Commemoration Day, and we Lapor. See here
Upacara
President
peringatan
Prabowo
Hari Kesaktian Pancasila tahun 2025 siap dimulai. Laksanakan.
Presiden Republik Indonesia dan Wakil Presiden Republik Indonesia tiba di tempat acara.
The President of Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto, and the Vice President, Gibran Rakabuming Raka, has arrived to the field of ceremony and going to sit down to prepare for this ceremony to begin. We can see here the leader of the ceremony is preparing the troops to gather around and giving their salutes to the President of Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto. Well, we are listening to Indonesia Raya to start off this ceremony. And after that, we will begin with the main event, which is the preparation of flag raising ceremony.
Tegak, saudara.
So the Indonesia Raya is finished.
Dan kebesaran
kepada Inspektur Upacara.
And now they are giving the biggest salute to the Inspector of the ceremony, while giving their salute with weapons, and also the president here, of course, is the inspector of the ceremony.
Tegak, saudara.
Laporan Komandan Upacara kepada Inspektur Upacara.
The commander of the ceremony is giving a report that they are ready to start off the ceremony here on 1st of October 2025 about the Hari Kesaktian Pancasila Commemoration Day. And then the commander will of course respond ready and start the ceremony.
mengheningkan cipta.
We are going to be singing mengheningkan cipta. That will be led by the commander of the ceremony.
Kita sejenak mengenang arwah dan jasa-jasa para pahlawan revolusi dan para pendahulu kita yang telah berkorban untuk kedaulatan, kehormatan, kemerdekaan bangsa Indonesia dan untuk mempertahankan Pancasila. Mengheningkan cipta, mulai.
Persiapan pembacaan teks Pancasila.
We are going to preparing for the reading of the text of Pancasila on this ceremony.
Tegak, sangkara! Perang!
Pembacaan teks Pancasila oleh Ketua Majelis Permusyawaratan Rakyat Republik Indonesia.
The Pancasila text will be read by Ketua Majelis Permusyawaratan Rakyat live on this ceremony.
Satu, ketuhanan yang maha esa. Dua, kemanusiaan yang adil dan beradab. Tiga, persatuan Indonesia. Empat, kerakyatan yang dipimpin oleh hikmat kebijaksanaan dalam permusyawaratan perwakilan. Lima, keadilan sosial bagi seluruh rakyat Indonesia.
The reading is finished, and now we will move to the second.
Tegak. Saudara.
Pembacaan pembukaan Undang-Undang Dasar Negara Republik Indonesia.
Then we are going to be reading the opening of the base Undang-Undang or Undang-Undang Dasar 1945 or 1945 led by
Undang-Undang Dasar Negara Republik Indonesia tahun 1945. Bahwa sesungguhnya kemerdekaan itu ialah hak segala bangsa dan oleh sebab itu maka penjajahan di atas dunia harus dihapuskan karena tidak sesuai dengan peri kemanusiaan dan peri keadilan. Dan perjuangan pergerakan kemerdekaan Indonesia telah sampailah kepada saat yang berbahagia. Dengan selamat sentosa mengantarkan rakyat Indonesia ke depan pintu gerbang kemerdekaan negara Indonesia yang merdeka, bersatu, berdaulat, adil, dan makmur. Atas berkat rahmat Allah yang Maha Kuasa, dan dengan didorong oleh keinginan luhur supaya berkehidupan kebangsaan yang bebas, maka rakyat Indonesia menyatakan dengan ini kemerdekaannya. Kemudian daripada itu, untuk membentuk satu pemerintahan negara Indonesia yang melindungi segenap bangsa Indonesia dan seluruh tumpah darah Indonesia, dan untuk memajukan kesejahteraan umum, mencerdaskan kehidupan bangsa dan ikut melaksanakan ketertiban dunia yang berdasarkan kemerdekaan, perdamaian abadi, dan keadilan sosial. Maka disusunlah kemerdekaan kebangsaan Indonesia itu dalam satu Undang-Undang Dasar Negara Indonesia yang terbentuk dalam satu susunan negara Republik Indonesia yang berkedaulatan rakyat dengan berdasar kepada ketuhanan yang Maha Esa, kemanusiaan yang adil dan beradab, persatuan Indonesia dan kerakyatan yang dipimpin oleh hikmat kebijaksanaan dalam permusyawaratan perwakilan serta dengan mewujudkan satu keadilan sosial bagi seluruh rakyat Indonesia.
Pembacaan dan penanda tanganan ikrar oleh Ketua Dewan Perwakilan Rakyat Republik Indonesia.
The signing and the reading of the ikrar led by the Dewan Perwakilan Rakyat of Indonesia, Puan Maharani.
Sepenuhnya bahwa sejak diproklamasikan kemerdekaan Negara Kesatuan Republik Indonesia pada tanggal 17 Agustus 1945, pada kenyataannya telah banyak terjadi rongrongan, baik dari dalam negeri maupun luar negeri, terhadap Negara Kesatuan Republik Indonesia. Bahwa rongrongan tersebut dimungkinkan oleh karena kelengahan, kekurang waspadaan bangsa Indonesia terhadap kegiatan yang berupaya untuk menumbangkan Pancasila sebagai ideologi negara. Bahwa dengan semangat kebersamaan yang dilandasi oleh nilai-nilai luhur ideologi Pancasila, bangsa Indonesia tetap dapat memperkokoh tegaknya Negara Kesatuan Republik Indonesia. Maka di hadapan Tuhan Yang Maha Esa, dalam memperingati Hari Kesaktian Pancasila, kami membulatkan tekad untuk tetap mempertahankan dan mengamalkan nilai-nilai Pancasila sebagai sumber kekuatan, menggalang kebersamaan untuk memperjuangkan, menegakkan kebenaran dan keadilan demi keutuhan negara kesatuan Republik Indonesia. Jakarta, 1 Oktober 2025, Ketua DPR RI, Dr. Honoris Causa Puan Maharani.
Pembacaan doa oleh Menteri Agama Republik Indonesia.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrabbilalamin.
We are going to be reading the prayers from the Menteri Agama Republik Indonesia to get this ceremony to go as planned without any problems.
Ya Allah, Ya Syakur, Ya Hamid, dalam detik-detik memperingati hari kesaktian Pancasila ini, kami, para hambamu, sembah sujud di hadapanmu, seraya mengucap syukur atas karuniamu yang penuh keajaiban. Engkau menganugerahkan Pancasila sakti sebagai falsafah hidup yang menyatukan dan membimbing kami dalam kehidupan berbangsa dan bertanah air. Ya Allah, Ya Qawi, Ya Matin, di hadapan monumen para syuhada saksi sejarah ini, hambamu berikrar sekaligus berdoa agar kiranya kami sebagai generasi pelanjut dan pemegang amanah dari para hambamu yang telah berkorban dan mempertaruhkan segalanya, mampu melanjutkan perjuangan sekaligus mewujudkan cita-cita luhur mereka, yakni terwujudnya kemerdekaan sejati dengan masyarakat sejahtera yang adil makmur diridhai Allah SWT, Tuhan yang Maha Kuasa. Ya Allah, Ya Afu, Ya Ghafar, semoga para pahlawan dan syuhada yang gugur mendahului kami senantiasa mendapat ridha dan ketenangan di sisimu. Semoga lubang buaya yang menjemput mereka menjadi terowongan suci yang mengantarkan mereka ke surgamu. Semoga kami semua yang melanjutkan perjuangan luhurnya berkenan mereka menjemput kami di pintu surganya. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, kami telah, sedang dan akan terus berikhtiar baik dan mencurahkan segenap energi untuk kejayaan bangsa kami. Anugerahkanlah hati yang lapang dan pikiran arif kepada semua pihak untuk saling memahami dan mengerti satu sama lain, agar langkah-langkah perjuangan kami bisa berlangsung dengan lancar. Jauhkanlah kami semua dari segala bentuk fitnah, bencana, dan petaka yang dapat mengembalikan kami ke titik nol. Pada akhirnya, kami pasrah semuanya kepadamu. Engkaulah Maha mengetahui segalanya dari kami. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah qina adzabannar walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
The reading of the prayers finish and now we are being greeted with music from the marching band.
Laporan Komandan Upacara kepada Inspektur Upacara.
We are getting a report from the commander of the ceremony to the inspector ceremony.
Upacara telah dilaksanakan. Laporan selesai.
Terima kasih. Kembali ke tempat.
The ceremony is finished and they are heading back to the post. We can see here that the
penghormatan kebesaran
sekretariat presiden
kepada inspektur upacara
on YouTube channel.
Hormat
and if you want to check us out, you can launch your RRH.ID shortwave in 335 kHz and 475 kHz and our application in every digital. Those of you who use to watch on demand.
Tegak, sajara! Rau!
Salam kebangsaan!
Hormat, sajara!
We are giving the salute of nationality to everyone who watch and also there on the ceremony.
Republik Indonesia meninggalkan tempat.
The President of the Republic of Indonesia is now leaving the field of ceremony, marking the end of the ceremony. And that is the live report from Voice of Indonesia about the Hari Kesaktian Pancasila Commemoration Day on the 1st of October 2025. Thank you for tuning in and always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Presiden Republik Indonesia, selamat datang kembali di Monumen Pancasila Sakti.
Izinkan kami persembahan lagu-lagu oleh pelajar.
Dan Stevie Yanchen Huyanan untuk mendampingi Bapak melaksanakan peninjauan.
Aku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya. Dalam benakku timbul waktunya. Masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta? Atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Namun siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Kini ku tak lagi dengannya, sudah tak ada lagi rasa antara aku dengan dia.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market. The traditional market, which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi, is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as geseng bangsong. Geseng bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangsong. Besides wadung yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Witwitan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Pradela. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a beautiful keroncong piece titled Bunga Abadi or Eternal Flower, performed by Ayub Sakti and the New Normal Keroncong Group. The song, written and originally performed by Rio Clappy, was released on March 1, 2024. The song tells a heartfelt story about meeting someone truly special. Through the song, Rio Clappy celebrates the magic of love and expresses gratitude for the people who bring joy and meaning to our lives. It's a gentle reminder to cherish the relationship we hold dear and embrace the true essence of love. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song by Ayu Sakti and the New Normal Keroncong Group with Bunga Abadi. Happy listening.
Abadi yang ku petik untuknya.
ku petik untuknya.
Yang jaya di lautan
Those who were victorious at the sea in the first millennium were the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Di Indonesia belum pernah saya lihat 9 meter. So aku pengen lihat. Langsung selamat saya, Pak. Jadi oke, dia bilang.
Kalau istilah PVC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitarnya tahun 1830-an, 40-an.
Appeared around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or calf catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Finnish sail.
Ke-19, jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar penisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari Solompong, there was palari Tongkong. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi, istilah Finisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya suatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Finisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
people's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word Finisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long. But with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Finisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies
from abroad ordered boats like that. The Thames Pinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Pinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Pinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi,
at that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Galangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called Pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Pinisi di Banyuwangi ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu pun Pak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Pinisi ship was built originally from Arab Lumpur, Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience, and it is recognized throughout the world.
Dan di segi pengalaman saja, nah, diakui oleh seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan finishnya 1 tahun lebih.
With the Pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, iron wood, BT wood and teak wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishi made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship bones. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang sisa untuk patah tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Minas, papang papangnya disusun, kesatu-satuin.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Kali seling, kali tian, nak belakang, baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli
That's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunia itu, yaitu.
There is one thing that is essence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. They seem to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Pinisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Arab people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Arab pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not sink. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not sail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve f from x, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archipelago for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Pinisi.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal karam yang